in the old days, women were supposed to only occupy the feminine and men were only supposed to occupy the masculine, and those were roles you had to play. Men weren't allowed to cry. Women weren't allowed to assert their thing, and that's a narrowed role. So then what we've done now is we've grown into the next stage where everyone's allowed to do everything. In fact, supposed to. So women are supposed to kick butt at work, be warriors, make ends meet, assert themselves, and then come home and dance like goddesses, you know. And you know, men are supposed to be, you know, sensitive and listening and caring and actually care what a woman talks about, which no one in their masculine cares for the most part. I mean, there's this. Did anyone see the movie? What was that movie? English Patient. Yeah. That was a beautiful movie. But there was a scene in it where this man and woman. We're in a car together, and the woman's talking, and the man goes, this is a paraphrase, he says, "One day, I was driving to Farsi, name of a city. I was with so-and-so, a man. The trip was 9 hours long. We did not say a word. When we arrived at the destination, he said, 'There is Farsi.' I nodded. That was a good day." And there's a quality of this in the masculine that, you know, I enjoy fishing, and sometimes I'll go fishing with friends, and we'll all just be fishing all day and have a great day together, and virtually nothing is said. Or sometimes things are said of the nature of, you know, "But I could catch a bigger fish than you," or something, but the transmission of love is through the competition and silence. Whereas for the feminine, the transmission of love is always through energy. The energy of speech, the energy of touch, the energy of play, of dance. And so what happens when we try to occupy the whole everything in the relationship is that the masculine partner fakes like they're interested in what the feminine partner is saying, for instance, and you get this dull look on their face. "Sure, yeah, I'm with you." You know what I'm talking about? Men, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. You asked, so you got it. Okay, we're getting there. Good. So the masculine partner gets this feeling of like, "Oh, God." You know, they start like doing, reciting scores in their head or something. I don't know what men do. I saw this hilarious comedy skit that acted out what was going on in a man's head while a woman was talking. They're, you know, like, but all these calculations. And so, on the other hand, women are supposed to act like they're interested, that they're actually like competition and scheduling themselves down to the minute and goal, 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 goal. And sure, there's a part of every woman who likes goals and competition and challenge, and there's a part of every man who likes talking about how beautiful your clothing is. It's not a big part in most men and women, but in some men and women it is. I mean, if a man has a lot of developed feminine, like a fashion designer, they love clothes. They live clothes. So here, there are some men who are male gender, they have penises, and yet have an abundance of feminine openness, maybe even more feminine than many women. And they're geniuses in feminine fields. And there are some women who are, you know, anatomically women, but could kick ass, I don't know who, Janet Reno or something, could stand up to any man, you know, boom, 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 boom. But you can also see that. You know, if Janet Reno and Isaac Mizrahi were in a fight, who would win? You know, I mean, who would win just the staring contest or something? So, the feminine masculine could be alive in all of us. What we've done in our culture is say everyone has to have both all the time. That has totally killed sexuality. It has totally killed our spiritual growth. Because the truth of the matter is, for most of us, even though we could be masculine or feminine in any moment, the truth is our spiritual and sexual core tends to be more one or the other. The core. So the truth is that even most businesswomen, very successful businesswomen, who could kick butt with any man, wield the sword, at their heart, what they want is wide open, blissful surrender and love. And success. But their core is satisfied by that flow in and out of love. Raise your hand if you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, good. Good, thank you. Now, the amazing thing is that for most people with a masculine essence, their core is fulfilled by facing death and transcending it. by facing their fears, by facing everyone's fears, and opening beyond those fears. And if they can do that with a partner, fantastic. Even better. If they can't, great. And so traditionally, when men formed spiritual clubs that have been known henceforth as Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, sex is not good. Men get together with men, women stay over there. Men sit in silence, read their books, pray to God. Men divorce themselves from life into their purity of living on the edge and facing death. And when women did that, they became these goddess celebrations, dancing, singing, food, feasts, communing. Now, in this kind of New Age thing where men have become over-feminized for a while and women have become over-masculinized, you have men now, you know, wearing earrings, long hair, banging drums in the woods, and, you know, and women sitting in cubicles, computers. If that's the way you like it, do it. What I'm suggesting is that for many of us, as women, we could cubicle as good as any man. And as men, we could dance as good as any woman. And there's another step to take. And that step is, without losing those skills, to be able, as I was saying earlier, to open completely and give your true masculine gift and your true feminine gift, if that's how you want to share it in intimacy. That's an individual choice. Some women would prefer to play the masculine role. Some women, they're like Janet Reno, probably would be better off with a man who is radiant and flowy, and so she could come home from work and say, you know, like, God, I had to kill 30 people or something, you know. And he could go, oh, baby, and touch her and move energy through her body. And she'd go, you know what I'm talking about? So, but if you want if you're a woman and you want a masculine partner who will take you, who will swoon you, who will crush you with their presence, you know, who will push you up against the wall, looking into your eyes, just like, baby, I love you, you know. Would you like that? Would you like that? Yeah, occasionally? Okay. So even though you're very powerful in the masculine sense, you're also very powerful in the feminine sense. And that power of the feminine is the power of the ocean. It's huge. And anyone knows that any woman could out-sex and out-emote any man. The ocean, the energetic ocean of woman can crush a man. That's why men have to get away from women to do their little spiritual practices. Because, you know, women, it's like, bah! And, you know, men's like, whoa. One second. You know, I want to go meditate. You know, come back when you're calm. Come back when you're reasonable. Let's talk. Let's talk. You know, and the feminine's feeling like, you know, just like energy all full. And so men's like, so I'm exaggerating to have fun with it, but you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not exaggerating that much. So your practice could be, and again, there's many practices. You have to start somewhere, and I'll come to you in a minute. But your practice could be to have the depth of presence to swoon her 3 times a day. And what that means is that, do you live together? Do you see each other a couple times a week? Okay. You're going like this. He's going. That was a good day. So what she wants from you may or may not be talk. Talk could certainly be part of it. But what she really wants from you is, at times, is to be swooned in the way I was suggesting, to be taken by you, by your love, not by your macho jerkness, but from you're totally sensitive, you're feeling her, and you're going to take her to a place she can't take herself. What's a good time that it happens? Okay, good, good. So we'll start there. We'll call that, you know, like I said, however good it gets, it's got to get better, right? I mean, that's not enough. Is that okay? Well, no, nothing else to say. It's done. You guys done? No, of course not. You want more. So there's probably a part of you that when you're swooning her, and you tell me when we get there, you know, I don't know you, so it's hard to know exactly where to start, clearly. Now I've just discovered you're, you know, this Casanova. So now you're pressing her against the wall, okay? What does she do? Okay. Well, maybe by Wednesday we'll loosen up a little bit. So does she go like, ah? Or does she go like, I like this? I mean, does she opens her body to, you know, like, take me, baby. Something like that. Okay, I hope not just like that, but close, maybe. Okay. So, I'm going to suggest something to you. Let's see if this would be interesting to the two of you, and then you tell me maybe you already do it, you know, and then we'll take it from there. When you're pressing her against the wall, you could be feeling her death and your death. You could actually be feeling how precious the moment is and she is and your relationship is because you're actually feeling her death, the part of her that she's going to die one day and you're going to die one day, yeah? Any day. It could be during the swoon. So when you're pressing into her, if you actually can feel as if the two of you are dying in that moment and come from that place of depth, this is your last moment with her. Would the quality of your press be any different than it is? I don't mean better or worse. I just mean the literal tone of it. It would probably feel a little different, you know? How would that be to you? If he was feeling you, looking at you, squeezing you with the feeling like this is our last moment, how would you like that? So far, we're like at 1%. But yeah. So yeah, it's probably a little bit deeper. Exactly. So to feel your death and her death in the moment of loving her physically, to swooning her, to combine your swoon with your actual heart feeling of death. And death is big. So to actually feel that death opens a kind of space of love and a quality of penetration that has no fear in it. Because if it is your last moment together, what are you going to hold back? You know, that in and of itself will change the tone of your swoon. Now, if when he does that, if you can realize that the masculine lives in this place where it's always feeling like, is life worth it? Whereas the feminine is life. You know, the feminine is life. If you can offer him a reason, so to speak, to be alive, a reason, but if you could make him happy to be alive, if your radiance, you know, what you offer and your openness makes him feel, God, I'm happy to be alive, while he's feeling into the both of your deaths. And if you're consciously opening that way, you're consciously giving him your light, giving him your love, you're consciously letting your body be everything that you know will make his body feel like, yes, I'm so happy to be alive with you. And you know what that means. But you're consciously opening in that way, deeper than you might just casually open. That might begin the next step for the two of you. If you never didn't do that. So the worst interaction you ever had was him swooning you and feeling into your death and you giving him the light of the universe. That's like the worst it gets. Or you're practicing it, as you say. So, does that sound like a direction that you could make use of or not? Okay. Now, the next thing around that comes through the body. And this is something that I think on Friday when we have 3 hours together, which, you know, we'll take breaks, but in the 3-hour period, we'll be able to do some actual exercises together. Just feeling your body from here. Each of us has our own way of holding our body. And most of us inhibit our consciousness or our radiance because of our body. And there's ways for a man to use his body, especially his belly. Have you ever done a martial arts of any kind? In martial arts, you learn to like move from your lower belly, and even when you're punching, it comes from your lower belly because that's your center of power. Well, there's a way to breathe from your belly and to love her from your belly sexually, but also just, you know, hugging her. You know, if you hug a woman like this and you show her, you're straightening up already. See, you're the quick learner. That's what I like. So the men tend to come from their eyes and head. So men, when they're trying to show love, they go, I love you. You know, and women don't like that. I mean, they like that more than I hate you. But when you do, I'm not saying you do this individually, all men do this. They tend to go like, can't you feel I love you? You know, and what women want to feel is that from here, they want to say like, can't you feel I love you? And they want to feel that energy coming from down here. They want to feel touched by your body, by your fullness. That's why Harrison Ford's the sexiest man in the world. Harrison Ford is like a really embodied man. When he's present, he doesn't go, He goes like this. Now, you were sitting in a way that made me think that maybe habitually you weren't breathing as fully into your belly as you could. You didn't have a sumo wrestler belly. And that strength of belly, when you squeeze her, makes a huge difference in literally the amount of consciousness that could come through your body into hers and take her. Can make her... Because again, if your if her consciousness is deeper than yours in any moment, she won't trust you as much as she could. The only way she can trust you deeply is in moments when your consciousness is at least as deep as hers, if not deeper. And in a masculine-feminine relationship, the ideal is that she trusts your consciousness, your direction, your capacity to direct the moment more than she trusts hers. Just like you trust her radiance, her love, her life force more than you trust yours. So when you look in a mirror, you two are standing in front of a mirror. We could do this experiment, but not yet. So you two look into a mirror. You're naked. You're both naked. Which body would you rather look at? Hers or yours? Oh, you better watch her while you're saying this. Well, the end of that relationship. Next. Equally, they're both equally attractive to you. Is that how you want it to be? Do you never want her body to be more attractive to you than yours? You might not. I don't know. If I like my body as much as a woman's body, I'd never have to leave the room. You know. Well, that's what I'm talking about, attraction. I'm talking about turns you on, gives you energy. You know, like... Right, exactly. Right, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you go, wow, you know, two bodies. Oh, look at that one. You know, I mean, you get energy. You know, it enlivens you. It's like seeing a rainbow. Her body, right? So another way of saying that is you trust her radiance more than yours. You want her radiance. You don't look at yours, you look at hers. You don't receive yours, you receive hers. You could do it on your own if you needed to, but you'd much rather receive hers, right? And she would be turned off if you spent more time doing your hair than she did. Right, ladies?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you be turned off? Why is it? It's, yeah. Well, it's selfish in a feminine way. You're allowed to do it, right? It's not selfish per se. It's that he's caring about his radiance more than yours. That's what's selfish about it. Okay. Well, every time you're talking about your job in front of him, it's like him doing his hair in front of you. Now, it should be legal for that. We need to understand that you have a job, he has hair. You know, you got a body, he's got a body. But in terms of the sexual turn-on, turn-off quality, the more you're talking about your direction, especially the less you trust his direction and the more you trust yours, like, well, there's some really good investments that I think we should make. And he's like, not now, I'm busy. I really think we should make these investments, or whatever it is. You know, there's millions of examples. Or even, I mean, I don't want to get too subtle now because people will start disagreeing because they're dishonest with themselves. But even just talking about subtle directions, like, boy, what I'm trying to do at work right now, you start doing that and immediately men aren't going like, boing, I want that woman. They're going into their neutral mode. Interesting. Because they have to relinquish the direction to you. There's only so much space. It's why you're turned off when you see men. It's good for a man to groom himself. But there's a point at which grooming becomes, as you say, too feminine. You might. It's an individual matter. That's what I'm saying. Some women would love a man who had 50 pairs of shoes and spent hours deciding on what to dress. And some women would really like that. And that means that you like a more feminine man, more radiant man, you know, a man who's into more energy. A man, most, you know, if a masculine man can't even tell the difference between two pairs of shoes, if you haven't noticed. So masculine man, I mean, you could get your hair cut. It's like a week. A masculine man goes, something different about you. Do you know what I'm talking about? The more masculine a man is, not only does less he care, I mean, he still cares about his relative appearance, but his nuance, his genius at energy is a bit limited. You know, so it's like he puts on these clothes and like you're looking, you're going, oh, let's try another shirt or something. Or the classic test is the earring test. You know, for a feminine person, the difference between whatever, a gold earring and a silver earring, or an earring that spins like this and a round earring are huge. And, I mean, this is like the difference between a good day and a bad day. The difference between feeling great and feeling good, right? I mean, you go to a man or a masculine man. There's feminine men who are more sensitive. But you go to a masculine man, you go, which earrings do you like, these or these? And the guy's like, And at the beginning, he'll go like, I don't care, they both look good. But then he learns that doesn't work, so he always goes, those. You know, it's like he has a rule, like, the ones on the left. But some men are very sensitive in their feminine. They're actually more sensitive than... But I'm talking about probably 80% of women want a man who's more masculine than them. About 80% of women. And so if that's what you want, then every time... You're doing great right now. Your body's really full. Every time your body isn't full of consciousness, like you're about to die, like you're a samurai, like totally present, there's a subtle distrust she develops in you, and she has to develop that masculine part of her. Every time you don't make a decision, every time I ask you a question and she has to answer it, there's a part of her that goes, yeah? So in terms, I'm just getting to your practices. I'm going to lay them on you. So one of your practices is to clearly assert your direction at all times. And if you don't have a direction, you clearly assert that. So you come home from work, let's say, and you're exhausted. You want to lay down in front of the TV. You go, I'm going to lay down in front of the TV for half an hour, and then I'm going to be with you. Bam, you lay down. She's not now going, when's he going to stop on the TV? When he's all around on the TV, when's he going to do something? Because she knows you've decided, you're clear. Then bam, half hour's up, you're up. I want to have dinner with you tonight. How's Chinese? See, the feminine wants to feel that you're taking care of the direction, even if you couldn't give a damn about where you ate. If you go, I want to have dinner tonight. I don't really care where we're going. See, it's disgusting to the feminine. It really is. To the masculine, it's fine. To a masculine person, you do that to me, I go, I don't care either. Let's just go somewhere. You know, it's no big deal. But a feminine partner wants to relinquish her masculine and trust yours. It's a gift to her. I learned this a long time ago in terms of birthdays. You know, it was Sophia's birthday. You know, to me, the best birthday present in the universe could be, you know, like anything I wanted. So, you know, for her birthday, I came in and was like, well, it's your birthday. What do you want to do? It was like, you know, what the feminine wants to feel is, you know, it's your birthday, pack your bags, you have 15 minutes, we're going to a warm place, go. You know, they want to feel like you've got it all taken care of, right? So the feminine wants to be, wants to allow herself to relinquish the masculine and trust yours because you're so good at it. Now, she might want to use her masculine at work, she might want to use it all day, she might want to make $1 million with it, but in terms of the sexual play, most of the time, 80% of women want to feel the masculine partner gifting her with your masculine, allowing her to relax that part of her so she can just open, be an ocean, be a rainbow, be the stars, be everything, full of energy, and not have to worry about where the hell you're going to dinner because you can't make up your mind. I'm not saying you know, I'm saying that to all men. So your practices so far are to swoon her feeling both of your deaths 3 times a day. So just randomly, you walk up to her, feel her death, her feel your death, and it's got to be a physical swoon. So you can dip her back, press her against the wall, pin her down on a couch. I don't know what she likes. She's probably like a little smacking around in there too. You know, you're holding her back, right? And you know you're starting to get to her edges of where she doesn't trust your masculine when she's starting to get uncomfortable. So that's the edge you play at, but we'll get into that. I mean, if you want her to grow and trust you more and more, you play right at that edge and you show her your integrity and your sensitivity. You know, you show her that she could trust and open even more, which is what she really wants to do, but she's got to learn to trust you. So do that through the swooning, feeling death, using your integrity. Sit full, breathe into your belly, which we'll work more on Wednesday and Friday, so that she could feel more of your fullness and make very clear decisions and listen to her response. So say, we're going to dinner tonight, Chinese, okay? And then she might go, I hate Chinese. Then you go, Mexican. And then she goes, I hate Mexican, you know, and you go, whatever. You know, nouveau cuisine or something. But you don't go, I don't care. Do you understand? You could still let her make the decision, but it's through your decision. That relieves her of having to come up with all the options herself. She could just respond to your options. Mexican, Chinese, didn't, and she goes, you know, if you say Chinese, and she goes, yeah, and then you go, okay, Chinese. So those are 3 practices for you. Okay? You know, in these Harrison Ford movies, the way they always go, everyone knows who he is, right? In the Harrison Ford movies, he's like the perfect, you know, he's the perfect husband, the perfect father, and he's there, and he's always like this ex-CIA agent or something. And so then he gets this call, bring, you know, we need you again. He hangs up, he's got this look, the woman goes, I could see the look on your face. You said you'd never go back again. You said you were with us now. And he goes, I did. I told you that. And I meant it when I told you. I want to be with you. But I can't. My country needs me. or whatever it is, something larger than the family. You know, I have to do this mission. And she goes, well, I might not be here when you get back. You know, and he goes, I love you. And she goes, don't even touch me right now. And there's this fight. And then, and he goes off and he saves the world single-handedly. And then he comes back. And what does she do? Exactly. Did you see that? That's how she'll feel when you stand in your lack of, you know, you go into your depth. What is your deepest gift to give the world? And you do it absolutely. And if that means not going on the vacation with her, but it really does mean giving your deepest gift, when she sees you again, you will be a deeper man, a more present man, and she will love you more for it, even if she complains while you're doing it. Does every man and woman know what I'm talking about? You'll become more like Harrison Ford in these things. Whereas if you just go along with her, okay, it's a deflated situation. Harrison Ford would never do that. Not that Harrison Ford's God, but, you know, I'm using him again as an example to feel that quality of masculine integrity. You have that in you. You know, I could feel it in you right now. But you sometimes don't live it because you want to make her happy.
Don't you think there's a place where you have to compromise?
Good question. Would you rather be with a man who is with you but didn't really want to be with you? Or a man who was doing what he really wanted to do, so when he was with you, he had done that and he was totally into being with you? Your choice. The answer to these questions is to feel into your deepest heart. If you could go to X location, you could go to Arizona and have a tense relationship with your lover, or you could go somewhere you couldn't care less about and have the deepest, most ecstatic relationship with your lover that you can, if that was your option, you're free to choose. Which one would you want? Different times, maybe. But it's important to feel into your deepest desire. See, one of the things of growing up, like we were talking about earlier, is that you learn to sacrifice your lesser desires for your deeper desires as you grow. That is what growth is. Because there's only 24 hours in a day. You know, I mean, if you put all of your time into making money, for instance, you could make money. And that's about it. I mean, there's some people who have dedicated their lives to make. So you need to pick what's the most important to you in your heart, your deepest heart, your deepest heart. And to discover that's quite an adventure. Just to feel through all the layers of shoulds and shouldn'ts and what your parents have put into you and your own fears and your cultural conditioning. And you feel into your deepest heart and feel like, what is the deepest love you have to give the world? Really, what is the deepest love you have to give everyone? So that you had felt you had lived the fullest love you can possibly live. Can you feel, even though you might not know specifically, can you feel that? Okay, that's where you should choose your vacation from. And as long as you choose something that allows that love to be bloomed fully, you will live the deepest, most fulfilled life possible. And you should be with a man who can feel that part in you, and therefore his decision in part, is based on what opens that part of you. A good man, Harrison Ford, what makes Harrison Ford sexy is not that he's selfish and does what he wants to do. It's that not only doesn't he do what he wants to do, he doesn't even do what his wife and family wants him to do. His sense of concern is much larger than himself or his family. It's the country, say, in these CIA things. So that's what makes him trustable as a man, that he's taking into account very large amount compared to most men, and then staking his life on it. Well, that's the kind of man you want, a man who at least takes you into account. So he has his personal concerns. He should know them. And then he has to take you into account because he loves you. You're together. So now his concerns include you, which means where do you go on this vacation so your heart blooms the most? That's the only question he's concerned with if he's a deep man. Not which do you want more. Because often, I mean, any man's an idiot if they think what a woman says they want is actually going to make them happy. I mean, if you ever give a woman what she says she wants, it's like, what? Men, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, everyone knows that's true, right? You know that's true. It's like, you said you wanted this. You need to have the courage to make the decision for both of them from your deepest place. And then if it's wrong, you're responsible and you need to change it to make it right. But it's that courage of feeling into her and knowing her deepest need. And then even if it's not what she's saying, going through with it for her sake, that takes guts because women have all this energy. You know, you have to be able to go, you know, we're going to Spain. fucking hate you. You know, and you go, I love you when you're like this. You know, let's go to Spain. You just go, and then, of course, you land in Spain. It's like, oh, I love you. Thank you. Or if you're lucky, last 20 seconds, and it goes back. I can't believe we're in Spain. So the, we'll get to this in a second. You brought up a good point. All your points are great, but they take time to expand. Back to you. We'll get to that. That's a great point. Because the feminine is always testing. The feminine will disagree with everything you say, hit you in your weakest spot, and negate you just to feel if you're present and strong with her. And then she can relax, because she knows she can't veer you from the deepest truth you feel. That's what a woman wants more than anything, a man who they can't veer from the deepest truth the man can feel. If they know that they could go, and you go, okay, whatever you say, she can't trust you. But we'll get back to that. So, is this your partner next to you? Let's make that clear. Are you glad you're just friends at this point? Are you with the man? Okay. Is he in this room? Okay. Do you trust him to take into account your deepest heart needs? You do? Is he better at it than you? Is he better at taking into account your deepest needs? And the way we were just talking about with this man. So you might think one thing, but he says another, you disagree, and then you go, he was right. Does it happen more than half the time? Okay. Well, when you're with a man who that happens enough, I'd say like more than half the time, but just at some point you just have to go, I trust this man's masculine. And you show him when it doesn't work. You don't suppress it. So if he goes, let's go to... You say, I want to go to Arizona. And he says, I want to go to California. So you go, no, David said to trust him. So you go, okay, let's go to California. And you go, and it's like a horrible thing. You let him know immediately. You get on the plane, you go, God, I hate this. Oh, this is horrible. You let him know. You show him through your body. And you let him deal with that as direction. On the other hand, if it's fantastic, you show him that too. So you never suppress your feeling. You allow him the... You know, men have to learn to do what I'm describing. They've got to learn to feel into you, feel your need, and make the right decision. You don't always make the right decision for you, right? It's a lot harder for someone else to feel into you. So it's going to take some time, years perhaps, for him to fine-tune that thing. So you have to give him the chance to do it. Let him know when it's a big mistake. Let him know when he's right on. And let him fine-tune that capacity if someday you want to be with a man who's like that 99% of the time. He can grow into that if you give him the time and the feedback. You know, and then he's going, yeah, I'm doing it right, I'm doing it wrong, doing it right. Because men love to figure out what to do. It's just if they listen to what you say, it's all hell, because what you say has nothing to do with what you really want to do, usually. Because the feminine is the force of attraction, the feminine, you know, when you see a rainbow, the rainbow doesn't go, look here or I'll kill you. You know, the rainbow doesn't say like, look at me so you could open. You know, I mean, it's just radiance. So when you, the other side of what we were just talking about, again, these are like any point we could go on forever with. If you actually tell him what to do, you totally turn him off. Because you're taking away his masculine. It's much better to show him your openness than to tell him what to do and let him struggle for months. I mean, you could tell him instantly, you're cheating him if you tell him. You're cheating him of his capacity to learn how to navigate you into openness. I mean, you've noticed that about men. If you tell them, you know, they can't do anything you tell them, is the bottom line. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Because it's like a man telling you you're ugly. I mean, does that open you? Well, when you tell him what to do, it's saying you don't know what to do.
Right.
So now let's do some fine tuning between these two, okay? Telling him what to do is very different than expressing your feeling, which is what I was telling you to do. When she's going, there's no telling what to, he goes, and then even better, he'll go, so what do you want to do? And you just go, and he goes, he'll be like this guy, I don't want to always make the decisions. Now at that point, you could turn him into Isaac Mizrahi, or, you know, if we could use him. You know who he is? He's a fashion designer. He's feminine. He's a genius, but he's very feminine. So you could turn him into that, if that's what you want, by telling him what to do. Or you could let him discover it so he becomes more Harrison Ford-like in his capacity to feel what you need and can grow. So telling him what to do is cheating him and actually repulsing him, because now you're in your masculine. You're saying, you're ugly. It's the equivalent of saying, your masculine sucks. Mine's better. Here, this is what you should do. It's like, why would I want to now? Okay. So there's a big difference between giving him the expressive feedback of how you're feeling, which you should always give your man. So if he hurts you, you should be going, ow. If he's giving you pleasure, you should be going, ah. Then he knows. And you got to do it loud because men are kind of like Helen Keller. They don't know what's going on usually. Even if you use words, it's your feeling, not direction. Let's say it's too cold in this room. If it's too cold in this room, see, you're doing it right now. If it's too cold in this room, you could either say, could you turn on the heat? Just a simple enough thing, you being the masculine. Or you could just say, I'm cold.
But it feels good to be clear and expressive of my desires.
It does feel good, but does it feel ecstatic? It feels good. Does it feel ecstatic? Is it as deep as you want to be? What I'm saying is you have a choice. You could have a good life or you could have an infinite life. You can't have both. You can't emphasize both. You just can't. It doesn't work that way. There's laws of nature. It's like saying you could stay 7 years old all your life and own a home. You got to let go of the old and open into the new. You could still play with toys, but not like the old days. You have to play with your new toys. You have to grow. If you're happy with the way your life is, if you're totally fulfilled, then you're doing exactly what you should do. If you're not totally fulfilled, specifically, if you want your boyfriend to take you deeper, to open you to God, the only way to invite him to open you into God is to receive him as God. You don't tell God what to do. You invite him into your heart. And it's your choice. In moments, you don't want him to be God. You want him to take out the damn garbage. So you say, take out the damn garbage. But there's more skillful ways of saying that which allow you to stay in the feminine. You could say, it's starting to smell like garbage in here. Which is simply expressing the truth without adding then the action to direct him what to do. You know, if you say it's smelling in here and he doesn't get the garbage, he clearly doesn't want to take out the garbage. It's his, I mean, he's a human. You can go, now take out the garbage. That's not... He still doesn't want to, or he does. So all you can do is express your feeling. And you're totally right. It took 20 years or so for women to learn to express their direction and to express what they want and to be clear. And what you get is wimpy men. That's what I'm addressing. So I want to show you yourself, like I had a video camera. You're going, isn't it important to be whole, to be able to open myself all the time? Yes. And then you go, does he open your God? Yes, he opens me to God. It's very frustrating when he doesn't, though. I mean, the amount of energy you have around wanting him to open you in the frustration is actually much larger than the energy you have around wanting to do it without him. Although I totally agree with your words. I just want to reflect you right now. The energy in your face is much larger than before. I don't know if you can feel that. Good. So all I want to see you resist. So again, what's happening for you in the moment, if I may, is that you don't want to be a woman. You don't want to be a rainbow, but you are. And there's a frustration in that, like, you know, I want to do this thing too. And, you know, you can do that thing. It's just not as happy as when you're a rainbow. But you could do it, and you could do it all your life if you want. And you could do it as much as your life as you want. But what's important to me is to minimize the amount of time anyone spends doing something that doesn't open them as much as it could. There's ways to live your life that right now, you and your partner, or you by yourself, sitting in this room right now, or walking down the hall, can feel so open, you feel alive as love. Like, love is moving you around your skin. And you're alive as love, so big, so huge. There could be great sexual moments like that. There could be moments when you're alone like that. There could be moments walking in nature like that. There could be moments sitting by yourself like that. Yes? Okay. So there's a way to cultivate that all the time. Now, the feminine body is built in a way that it most opens through reception. It's just built that way. I mean, if you were in a masculine body, it would be a different way. There's not one worse or better. Your body is built. You love, when a masculine person goes shopping, it's like, I need a shirt. You got a blue shirt? Thanks. When a feminine person goes shopping, it's like, look at those colors, feeling those textures. It fills you. When a masculine person has a family, they enjoy their family tremendously. When a feminine person has a family, it feels very close to God. The feminine is built to be full of life, to be life. The feminine is the fullness of life. So the more you allow your body and heart to be filled with life, the more you as an individual, not in a couple, the more you as an individual will feel the divine moving your body and heart. The more you try to direct yourself like a masculine person does to achieve something, the more you'll feel starved in your heart. The feminine body grows by allowing your body to be filled with love, moved by love, alive as fullness of love, as every color of love, as anger, as sadness, as sweetness, as tears, as deliciosity, as red, as blue, as green, as full breaths, as the fullness of life. And the more you could move that way, so right now your shoulders are like full of life, and your loins are full of life, and your legs are full of life, and you just feel yourself alive to infinity, that is feminine openness. Masculine openness, if you look at any masculine religion, I don't know, Zen, Buddhism, priesthoods, it's like silence, black and white. That's not your way, whether you want it to be or not is irrelevant. Your way as a feminine body is the surrender of boundaries, to be so full, to be so huge, to be so super abundant in energy that you are light, that you are the light of love with everyone you see, when you're alone, with every breath, from your heart in every moment. 30 years ago, as a woman in the audience, you would have said, well, women can't assert their direction. We can't. It's dangerous. And it was. It was dangerous for women to assert their direction 30 years ago. Some women took the chance. Some women moved forward and did what is risky and dangerous, physically dangerous. And now all women, to some extent in most countries, I mean, it's still growing, but there's much greater freedom, right? What I'm talking about is a next step. If you did it now, you would get like what I talked about earlier. People don't like openness. But with amongst your friends, you certainly can. Amongst your very closest friends, amongst those you love, we better be able to, with those we love the most, create small pockets of openness where you can be a rainbow. Because that's the only place you'll be deeply fulfilled. Now, as more and more of us do that over the next several hundred years, society will create forms that nurture and support that kind of openness. Other cultures have had that in the past and have lost it. But it is possible to create a culture that respects the rainbow volcano of feminine energy and the empty pristinity of masculine. There are cultures that honor both of those, or have been cultures that honor both of those completely. Ours does not. We're in a transition stage. If you risk doing this, there's a chance you'll be hurt. It's certainly dangerous. Someone's doing it. Someone's got to do it. You could start with your friends. You could start in your small groups. And then as we grow as a culture, which will take many years, we will all learn to honor that part of you, your rainbow, you as a rainbow, you as the universe more. There are whole cultures built on respecting women as the goddess of the universe. There are whole cultures built on respecting that the masculine force is transcendental to life. It's before life, it's after life, it's during life, but it's not primarily about the stuff of life. And so in those cultures, the masculine character was allowed to feast on nothingness, and the feminine characters were allowed to feast on fullness and show that fullness through their body, just as the masculine character showed their emptiness through theirs. And when those people come together, you have such a deep polarity of trust, because this man has no fear. He's totally present. There's nothing occupying him other than absolute presence. And the woman has no closure to energy. She doesn't have the neuromuscular armor, the neuromuscular cloak that women must wear in our culture at work all day, just walking down the street. You can open that armor, breathe fully, and be a goddess. When those two people come together, or when they create a circumstance amongst their friends or their family where they could be that way, their hearts can find the fullest expression and the fullest contact. Thank you.
For more information about books, tapes, or workshops with David Deda, call toll-free 1-888-MAN-WOMAN. That's 1-888-626-9662. Book, tape, and workshop information can also be found on the web at www.deda.com. That's www.deida.com, or you can write us at Plexus, PMB 445, 815A Brazos, Austin, Texas, 78701.